today's study, or the study for the next several weeks, is called Growing Up. And we're not talking about growing up in the natural realm or chronologically, but today we're going to start talking about growing up spiritually. Growing up spiritually. Say it with me today. Growing up spiritually. All right, but we could use natural growth, chronological growth, to compare it to spiritual growth. And naturally speaking, a toddler, a two-year-old, is what? It's the center of its own world. It's about me, myself, and I. Me, myself, and I, right? About a toddler, it's, you know, if he doesn't get what he wants, he stomps his feet and, you know, he screams and he cries, or she screams and he cries until, you know, he or she gets what they want, right? And as time goes on, and a toddler should become a responsible adolescent, eventually a responsible adult, if its parents guide it, guide him, guide her, correct her, discipline him, right? You know, a toddler is the center of its own world. It's all about me, myself, and I. But good parents will do what? Will guide that toddler eventually into mature adulthood, responsible adulthood. Not in all cases, however, because, you know, you meet a lot of people nowadays, and this might have been you, or this might be you, that it's a boy stuck in a man's body. There's people out there that are men, chronologically, they're 30 years old, they're 40 years old, they're 50 years old, but inside that 50-year-old body is a little boy. You know, there's women out there who are 30 years old, 40 years old, 50 years old, but inside that woman's body is a 5-year-old girl. All right? So some people, even in the natural, don't grow up. They remain little children. And it's the same way spiritually. You know, a lot of people, when they accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, they accept Him, they're spiritual infants at that point, and they become maybe spiritual toddlers. And it's sad to say that a lot of people, they may have been Christians for 10, 20, 30, or 40 years, but they remain spiritual toddlers, you know, in their spiritual life. They don't grow up. And friends, I'm here to tell you today that God is wanting us to go from spiritual toddlerhood into spiritual maturity. He's wanting us to become spiritual adults. Is that making sense? And it's sad to say that a lot of people, they remain 2 years old in their spiritual walk. Even though they may have been Christians going to church for 20, 30, or 40 years, they're still like 2 years old spiritually. But that's not where God wants us to remain. Do you agree? God wants us to go beyond that. He wants us to become responsible and mature in our walk with Him. Amen? Okay, let's talk about this. One of the ways to grow spiritually is to get into the B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. Today's message is basic instructions before leaving earth. You want to look at the word Bible, B-I-B-L-E, look at that acronym, is that basic instructions before leaving earth. And believe it or not, ignorance of the Bible leaves one spiritually immature. How many here want to grow in their walk with God? If that's you, raise your hand. How many here want to grow in Christ? You want to become spiritually mature. You want to become a spiritual adult. How many here? Raise your hand again. All right. If that's you, you've got to start getting into the Word of God. It's one of the ways to grow up. And this series is Growing Up. I'm going to read you a quote here. I was reading some quotes here today on the Bible, and this is what it says. Some American Jewish tourists were visiting the vicinity of Jerusalem. The guide pointed out to them the spot where the prophet Samuel was buried. One of the tourists remembered that in the Bible there are two books of Samuel, and in order to show off his biblical knowledge, he inquired of the guide, which Samuel rests here, the first or the second? See, some people are spiritually ignorant of the Word. And if you remain spiritually ignorant of the Word of the Bible, it leaves you a spiritual toddler. You're not going to grow up in your walk with God. Another quote here says this. Talking about the Bible. The book is the mind of God, the state of man, the way of salvation, the doom of sinners, and the happiness of believers. Its doctrines are holy, its precepts are binding, its histories are true, and its decisions are immutable. Read it to be wise, believe it to be safe, practice it to be holy. It contains light to direct you, food to support you, and comfort to cheer you. It is the traveler's map, the pilgrim's staff, the pilot's compass, the soldier's sword, and the Christian's character. Paradise is restored, heaven opened, and the gates of hell disclosed. Christ is its grand subject, our good, its design, and the glory of God, its end. It should fill the memory, rule the heart, and guide the feet. Read it slowly, frequently, prayerfully. It is a mine of wealth, a paradise of glory, a river of pleasure. Follow its precepts, and it will lead you to Calvary, to the empty tomb, to a resurrected life in Christ, yes, to glory itself for eternity. Isn't that awesome? That's an awesome quote, right? All right, let's talk about for the next few minutes how the Bible helps us in our spiritual growth, how it helps us to grow up spiritually. Now, think about it this way. If you want to learn more about someone that you admire, that you look up to, what do? You may not know that person personally, one-on-one, but you can do what? You could study about them. You can read their biography, their autobiography. How many here know Billy Graham? Everybody knows Billy Graham, right? Knows about Billy Graham. If you want a closer look into the life of Billy Graham, you can read his autobiography called Just As I Am. It gives you a closer look into his life. Is that making sense? Well, I'm here to tell you today, to propose to you that the Bible, the Word of God, is the autobiography of God. This word right here is God's autobiography. I'll read you another quote. It says this. The Bible is the one supreme source of revelation of the meaning of life, the nature of God, and the spiritual nature and needs of men. It is the only God of life which really leads the spirit in the way of peace and salvation. It says that the Bible is the one supreme source of the revelation of the meaning of life and the nature of God. Nature of God. If you want to get to know more about God and who God is, the nature of God, you've got to get into His Word. You can't separate God from His written Word. God and His Word are one. As you read the Word of God on a consistent basis, you get to find out who God is. You get to know more about His character and His nature. That making sense? You've got to chew on the cud of God's Word. It's not good just to read it. But you've got to read the Word of God and you've got to think about what you read. In other words, you've got to meditate on what you're reading. You may not have time enough in a day to read 3 chapters or 4 chapters out of the Bible, but you may have time enough, maybe 5 or 10 minutes, to read 2 or 3 scriptures out of the book of Psalms. Start with Psalms chapter 1. Read the first 3 verses. Go to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 1. Read the first 3 verses. And think about what you read. Meditate on what you read. And it will become part of you. Amen? See, what does a cow do with its cud? Chews on it, brings it down, brings it back up. Chews on it, brings it back down, and up and up and down. It chews on its cud, right? Well, we have got to chew on the cud of God's Word. In other words, we have got to meditate on the Word that we read. And it's not enough to read God's Word just once in a blue moon. Well, I read my Word once a month, or I read my Word 2 times a year, once every 6 months, or, man, I read the Word of God on Thanksgiving, or I read the Word of God at Easter time, or I read the Word of God at Christmas. Friends, that's not enough. You've got to be in the Word of God on a consistent basis. Now, how many here like to eat breakfast once a month? Anybody? If that's you, raise your hands. Anybody here like to eat breakfast once a month? Not me. I like to eat it every day. Whether it be oatmeal, grits, bacon and eggs, biscuits and gravy, and my coffee and my orange juice. I like to have breakfast on a consistent basis. How about you? They say that breakfast is the most important meal of the day. It gives you physical energy for the day's demands. You got to go out and work. You've got activities to perform. And that breakfast that you eat in the morning helps give you energy. Well, guess what? God's Word is like your spiritual breakfast. I can put it this way. It's the breakfast of winners. Do you want to win in life? Do you want to go deeper in God? Do you want to find out more about the nature of God and Jesus? Well, start getting into the Word. Just like you eat your breakfast on a daily basis, on a consistent basis, start eating your spiritual breakfast on a daily basis, on a consistent basis. The devil will try to distract you, pull your focus off the Word, and you know, you might sit down at 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock in the morning to open up the Word of God and read a few scriptures, and you know, He's sure to occupy your mind with something else to get your focus off studying the Word of God to doing something else. You know, because He knows that if He can rob you of God's Word, He can tempt you and make you fall for that temptation. So just like you like to eat breakfast, start eating the Word of God consistently. It's one of the ways, one of the major ways that you will grow up spiritually. You know, you'll find out things about God like this, that God is love, 1 John 4:8. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. You start finding out that the nature of God is a nature of love as you start getting into the Word of God. Now, how do you become like someone? What's one of the ways you become like someone? You study that person. You read their autobiography. You meditate on that person's life, right? And you meditate on them. You admire them. You read about them. You study them. You meditate on them. And you begin to imitate them if you really look up to that person. Whether it be a president or a sports figure, you know, or whatever it might be. But the person most of all that we need to imitate and become like is God. And how do you begin meditating on God and imitating Him and becoming like Him eventually? By first getting into His written Word, the Bible, studying it on a consistent basis, not just once in a while, but every single day. It is your spiritual food. And if you rob yourself of the spiritual food at the start of every day, you're robbing yourself spiritually. You're starving yourself spiritually. The closer you get to God, the more spiritually mature you become. Here's you, and here's God. The closer you get to God, the more spiritually mature you become. But one of the ways to get closer to God is to read His Word, to study His Word, to meditate on His Word, to start thinking about God and thinking about the nature of God by reading His Word, and then start imitating God, that God is love. The God I serve is a God of peace. The God I serve is a God of patience. The God I serve is a God of joy. The God I serve is a God of long suffering. The God I serve is a God of the fruit of the Spirit. And how do you manifest the fruit of the Spirit in your life, who God is? By getting into His Word, by meditating on it, by thinking about God, by meditating upon God. And as you meditate upon Him based on His Word, you start imitating Him and you start becoming more like Him. And as you start becoming more like God, you start becoming more spiritually mature. You start becoming a spiritual adult. But it's not going to happen if you don't read the Word of God. Now, I've got another one I'd like to read to you. Another one here. I'm reading from a book here. It is said that some of the mines of Cornwall, that the deeper they are sunk, the richer they prove. And though some lodes have been followed by 1,000 and even 1,500 feet, they have not come to an end. Such is the Book of God. It is a mine of wealth which can never be exhausted. The deeper we sink into it, the richer it becomes. So how the Bible helps us in our spiritual growth, it does what? It reveals the nature of whom? It reveals the nature of God. If you want to get to know more about God, start getting into His autobiography, the Word, the Bible. As you get into His autobiography and you read it and you meditate on it, you start imitating it. You start imitating God. And as you start imitating God, you start becoming more like Him. And as you become more like Him, you become more spiritually mature. You start growing up in Christ. Is that making sense today? Another way that the Bible helps in our spiritual growth. It does what? Reveals the nature of God. Number two, it reveals what else? Reveals what? The voice of God. Psalm 119, verse 105. Psalm 119, verse 105. And it says this. Your word, God, is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. Anybody here ever been in a dark situation? Darkness in your life, confusion, you don't know where to turn next, you don't know who to talk to next, you don't know where to go to next, you're just in a state of dark confusion. Well, the Word of God brings light to the darkness in your life. And where light shows up, darkness is dispelled. It's like this room. Imagine this room with the lights off at 12 midnight. It's completely pitch dark. Pitch dark, no light. You'd be bumping into chairs. You'd be tripping over the pulpit. You know, you'd be just walking into the wall because it's dark, right? You don't know where the aisles are. And you might be like that in your life today. It's just dark and you're bumping into things. There's confusion. There's no clarity of thoughts. But as soon as you switch the light on in this room, what happens? Everything becomes visible. You see the chairs. You see the aisles. You see the pulpit. Everything is clear so you can walk down in a clear path. Amen? It's the same way with the Word of God. And it is a what? It is a lamp to our feet and a light for our path. It makes the crooked ways straight. It makes the dark ways full of light. It brings enlightenment to your spiritual life. You hear God speaking to you. It reveals the voice of God as you get into His written Word. Another quote here. Got quite a few quotes here today. It says this. I always have the pleasure to have people read and study the Bible, since the Bible is the voice of the Holy Spirit. It reveals the righteousness of God and His love. Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, gave His life and shed His blood to save those who believe in Him. His righteousness exalts the nation. Christ is the cornerstone of all freedoms. His love covers all sins. All those who believe in Him shall have eternal life. Amen? Amen. Another one. One day an infidel named William Hone met a small boy who was reading the Bible. Hone said to him, "Why do you spend your time with a worthless book like that?" The lad responded, "It's the only thing that gives my sick mother any comfort." The man was moved by the youngster's simple comment and decided to read the scriptures for himself. As he did, God's Spirit spoke to his heart. Sometime later, he wrote the following lines on one of the pages in his Bible. "The proudest heart that ever beat hath been subdued in me. The wildest will that ever rose to scorn thy cause or aid thy foes is quelled, my God, by thee." William Hone's life was transformed through the power of the Word. Amen? It can transform a life and melt the hardest heart. Amen? That's good, isn't it? God is good all the time, man. It reveals the voice of God. Now, you become like someone that you spend a lot of time with, right? Think about a friend, a person that you hang out with, somebody with flesh and bone. As you hang out with this person and you talk with this person, you get to know this person's voice and their way of thinking. Now think about this. As you listen to their voice and they talk into your life, their way of thinking becomes your way of thinking. You may not meet with them physically. It may be a person out of city or out of state, but you might spend time on the phone with that person. Once a week, maybe 30 minutes a week, and you talk with that person, that friend, and you listen to their voice, and they speak into your life, and as you listen to their voice and spend time with them on the phone, some of the ways of their thinking becomes your ways of thinking. They start having an influence on you. Amen? Because you're listening to their voice. You're communicating with that human person. Well, guess what? As you start getting into the Word of God, it's the voice of God. You start hearing God's voice through the Word, and guess what? His voice starts influencing your way of thinking. Amen? You might have thought in unholy ways. Maybe you cussed a lot, spoke a lot of four-letter words, perhaps. Maybe did drugs, got drunk on alcohol, you know, slept with somebody who wasn't your spouse. But as you start getting into God's Word starts telling you, "Be ye therefore holy, as I, the Lord your God, am holy. The unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God." And you start reading the Word of God. And as you read the Word of God, His voice is speaking to you. And it starts influencing your mind, your spirit in a good way. To the point that you become more like God. Righteous and holy as God is righteous and holy. And as you become more like God, you become a spiritual adult. You're becoming spiritually mature by getting into His Word. So it reveals the voice of God. Say, for instance, hypothetically, somebody backstabs you, really does you wrong, you know, down talks you to your employer, takes something from you, steals something from you, and you find out, and you're infuriated with this person, And the first natural human reaction is to retaliate, to get revenge. But you're in the Word of God, and say that morning you happen to be in Colossians chapter 3, for instance, and you're reading verse 15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. You think to yourself, man, I've got to let the peace of Christ rule in my relationship with this other person who did me wrong, who backstabbed me, who stole from me, who took something from me that didn't belong to him. And then you think to yourself, you know what? According to God's word, what would Jesus do? Jesus would forgive. Jesus would die to self to maintain the peace. You know, that person backstabbed me. That person talked me down to my boss. That person took something from me that didn't belong to him. I'm going to do what Christ would do. I'm going to forgive. I'm not going to retaliate. I'm going to leave it in the hands of God, because God says, vengeance is mine. I will repay. That's just an instance there, right there. So if you want to come into strife with somebody, remember what the Word of God says, the voice of God says, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, in your relationship with others. Amen? Amen. So the Word of God does what? It reveals the nature of God, number one. It reveals, number two, the what of God? The voice of God, number two. That's right. It reveals the voice of God. As you listen to His voice, He starts having a positive, godly influence on you. And another thing that the Word of God does is we learn to distinguish God's voice from other voices as we learn His Word, right? And it influences us. We become more like Him. And number three, the Word of God helps fight spiritual temptations. We don't have time to get into this, but Jesus, he was fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. Remember that story, that account in Matthew chapter 4? He was hungry, right? Matthew chapter 4, you can read it. Matthew 4, 1 through 11. Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. And so he was hungry. In his human self, he was weak. He was hungry. And the devil tempted him three times. Number one temptation. He said, the devil comes to him and says, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Jesus answered, it is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Quoting from Deuteronomy. Quoting right from Deuteronomy. Isn't that awesome? Deuteronomy 8:3. Then the devil took him to the holy city, had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you're the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Again, Jesus responded, it's written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Where was Jesus quoting from? Deuteronomy 6:16. Third temptation. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I will give you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. Could you imagine the audacity of the devil to tell Jesus to bow down to him? Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Again, quoting from Deuteronomy 6:13. And it says in verse 11, is the key, then the devil left him and the angels came and attended him. Knowing the Word of God does what for you? It helps protect you against falling to temptations. As you go about your daily life, friends, the devil is going to throw temptations across your path. He's going to cause you to look at the opposite sex in a way that you shouldn't. He's going to cause you to have fantasies in a way that you shouldn't. He's going to tempt you to do something with her that you should not be doing if she's not your wife. If you've had a struggle with drugs and you're in the presence of people that do drugs, guess what? He's going to tempt you to take drugs and get high again. If you had a struggle with alcohol and you're in the presence of people who are drinking Jack Daniels, guess what? He's going to tempt you to try to fall and get drunk. But if you know the Word of God, what do you do when the devil tries to tempt you? You quote it like Jesus did, and the devil will have to flee. Because one thing that the devil really hates is what? What does the devil really hate? It puts a tingle down his ugly spine. What is it? He hates the Word of God. And when you quote the Word of God, when he's trying to tempt you in one of those ways, maybe he might tempt you to say a word, a bad word you shouldn't say. When he's trying to tempt you in some way, you quote the word of God and say, "Away from me, Satan, in Jesus' name." The word of God says that if I sin like this, I will not inherit the kingdom of God. Satan, I tell you, the word of God says that I'm to be holy as God is holy. I'm not going to fall to your temptation in Jesus' name. And as you start quoting the word, just like he fled from Jesus, he is going to flee from you. But in order for him to flee when you speak the word, first of all, you've got to have what in you? You've got to have that word on the inside of you by doing what? By reading it. By meditating upon it. In other words, thinking about what you read and then memorizing the word of God. You know, I can preach it to you, friends. I can preach, I can teach, I can encourage you to read the word of God. But you know what? You've got to make that decision on the inside. But I'm going to start getting into God's Word on a consistent basis. You may hear a message like this and think, you know what, tomorrow morning I'm going to get up at 5:30 and read five scriptures. And the next morning, Wednesday, you do the same thing. And then Thursday, and then Friday comes along and you forget. Saturday comes along and you forget. And then 5 months later, you decide to crack the book again. But friends, you know, 5 months later is not enough. It's got to be a continual thing. The devil will try to take you down spiritually by robbing you of getting into the Word of God. Amen? Because he knows that if you have the Word of God in you and you speak it out to him, he's got to flee from you. He knows that. And friends, we have to outsmart him. By God's grace, we are smarter than him. Amen? Start getting into that Word, man. It is your spiritual nourishment. Is that making sense? One of the ways to grow up spiritually, become a spiritual adult, is to get into the B-I-B-L-E. Basic instructions before leaving earth. Amen?